Thank you so much. And that is a segue, a beautiful segue to our scripture for this morning. The first scripture is simply the first verse of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 to remind you of all of what they have just said. It is the key point that begins that entire litany of things that it is time for. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. There is a season for everything and a time for every matter under heaven. And that brings us to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. I ask that he will strengthen you in your inner selves from the riches of his glory through the Spirit. I ask that Christ will live in your hearts through faith as a result of having strong roots in love. I ask that you'll have the power to grasp love's width and length, height and depth, together with all believers. I ask that you'll know the love of Christ that is beyond knowledge, so that you will be filled entirely with the fullness of God. Glory to God, who is able to do far beyond all that we could ask or imagine by his power at work within us. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations, forever and always. Amen. And this is the word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. It is good to be back home. Really feels like home here. And I want to thank every one of you for showing up today to mark the end of a season. Not the easiest thing in the world to do, is it? Ecclesiastes seemed to be right on target. I love that song. I've loved it ever since I was in the seventh grade. And I think I love it first because the beginning of it, just those chords at the beginning. And then you begin to notice as a seventh grader, there's something to these lyrics. What's going on in these lyrics and where does it come from? There's a depth there. There's a kind of clear-eyed look at life. That there's all sorts of situations that come to us in life. And that's where the teacher begins. Ecclesiastes is a word for the gatherer, the teacher. In Hebrew, it's Kohelet. So we'll call him Kohelet through this sermon. He was a masterful teacher. I have a feeling he might have even been a songwriter because of what we just heard in that particular song. But that song made a deep impression on me. You see, I love music. Anybody else love music? Yeah. I love music. I've loved it since I was a little kid in church choir. I've loved it ever since Becky Lawrence gathered us at her house for the Ed Sullivan Show. We went, the Ed Sullivan Show? What's going on? Did anybody see Paul McCartney? Yeah, with the Late Late Show, James Corden. Oh, gotta see that. It's beautiful. I was captured by that music as well as my youth choir music. I got to be in both streams. And then other streams were added later on in life, but music means a great deal to me. My youth choir director was Adele Diekman. She's still around. She can't play the keyboard anymore, but when she was at her peak, she could play one of those three-tiered, four-tiered organ keyboards. And what fascinated me was watching her feet go. I just can't believe people can do that. But she taught us the gospel through music, through beautiful music. She had great taste, and she ran that choir like the New York Philharmonic. She was not going to brook any nonsense, but we knew she loved us. And so through that, one thing led to another. And as I look back, I realized I learned more from youth choir than I did from youth Sunday school. And then on the other side of it was Barry, my friend Barry, who's still a dear friend in Atlanta, Georgia. And he introduced me to the depths of Motown. And of course, we celebrate today Aretha, who offered so much in that area. We were big Aretha fans. And Otis Redding, the Temptations, the Four Tops, and so many more, and discovered that there was something to those lyrics, too. There was soul, and it enriched our lives. And we went on from there to the Beatles. We went on from there to Eric Clapton. We went on from there to The Who, and on and on and on it went. And he still plays some music, and so do I. Music can really speak to us, and I think this teacher, Kohelet, knew it as well as anybody did. We paid attention to the songwriting, lyrics included, lyrics and music. Just listen to a couple of the lyrics from Turn, Turn, Turn. There's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to reap, a time to kill, whoa, and a time to heal, a time to laugh and a time to weep. And then the last verse, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time for love, a time for hate, a time for peace, and here's where the birds added, or Pete Seeger did, I swear it's not too late. And that captured me. I still swear it's not too late. The Lord's at work. It's never too late. But that last little line is a twist a little bit away from the feeling and the theme of Ecclesiastes. For Ecclesiastes is nothing if it's not wide open eyes at reality. More than any other book of the Bible, probably, it offers us the wisdom of hard, tough reality. And basically tells to us, deal with it. With God's help, deal with it. Well, the writer was unknown, like I said, but his Hebrew name, as I told you, means gatherer or teacher. And he was concerned about the meaning of life and the best way to live life. And for him, it was wisdom. Wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. Nothing but wisdom. I've got a term for some of our political leaders these days. It is possible to be a very smart fool. I think Kohelet might have said something like that. In his view, all life is vanity, pointless. And in the light of this senselessness, one should enjoy the simple pleasures of life, such as eating, drinking, taking enjoyment in one's work. And all these things are gifts from the hand of God. His book concludes, or this passage of it does, fear God and keep his commandments, for that is the whole duty of everyone. Not a great title for a folk song, but wise counsel indeed. Fear God, be in awe of God, keep all of his commandments, do what he says. This is the whole duty of everyone. Well, Ecclesiastes is one of the great gems of Scripture, especially the wisdom writings. And it's inspired writers down to our own time. I came across one of our own, Thomas Wolfe, just saw his house a few weeks ago when we had a wedding up near Asheville. He said this, of all I have ever seen or learned, that book seems to me to be the noblest, the wisest, the most powerful expression of man's life upon earth. And also, the highest flower of poetry, eloquence, and truth. I am not given to dogmatic judgments in the matter of literary creations, but if I had to make one, I could say that Ecclesiastes is the greatest single piece of writing I've ever known, and the wisdom expressed in it the most lasting and profound. It professes to us the hard truth that there is a season for everything. And that does mean everything, including what we're about today, including even tougher things like dying, uprooting, killing, and tearing down. Written at least 400 years before Christ, it sounds like the teacher would not say about the cross, impossible, this could never happen. Kohelet would have seen it coming, and in his wisdom, would have prepared himself and his students for it. I'm sure you saw this final celebration worship coming, didn't you? Kohelet the teacher would have had this question for you and for me. Have you prepared yourself for this day? That's an important question today. Some have chosen not to prepare themselves for today. They are likely not here today because they're a little bit mad. But some of you did prepare. Some of you did plan. That's probably you that are here. You have an idea of what you'll do next. It may be sanctuary worship. It could be first on Chatham, or it may start with a class or a small group first. It may be a form of service. Where you start doesn't matter as much as you start. The only unacceptable option is to do nothing. The worst unacceptable option is to get stuck in resentment. Please urge one another and the folks that are not here not to get stuck. It seems to me that Kohelet the teacher might have given this advice to the people of celebration and worship. Celebrate. Look back and be grateful. Accept. Be at peace with the end of the season. Get moving. Find God's next step for you and go for it. First of all, celebrate. If we can have a service of celebration in a funeral these days, we can certainly celebrate celebration worship. Give thanks for the birth of celebration in 2004. Yep, it was that far back. Give thanks for every iteration of music and leadership since that day. Give thanks for the planting of new relationships. Some of these relationships in this room did not exist a few years ago. Be grateful today for the healing words and actions you've witnessed here in this very space at 11:11 on Sunday. From the goodies the Hardy family provides for us, to the pastoral care you've received. Be grateful for both the tears and the laughter, for the chance to mourn together, and for all the embraces you've shared. Be grateful for what you've experienced in this place over the past 13 plus years. Like the times of searching, when it felt at first you might lose your faith. Because that searching led not only to keeping your faith, but to a deeper, more resilient faith. Give thanks even for the times that tore at your heart because the repair work you did individually and for each other made your heart open up in a new way. Give thanks for the silent times of contemplation, listening for the still, small voice, the whisper of God. Give thanks for the time you spoke to each other with grace. It made a difference in at least one life. Some of y'all might know who I'm talking about. It made a difference in the life of Lee Viersen. Becky writes in the preface, and this was her project. Where are you, Becky? There she is. This was her project to get Lee's poems published. Why did I decide to publish this book? I wanted people to understand my husband's struggle and journey. Perhaps others are awake at 3 a.m. and will find comfort through Lee's journey to God. And well into his journey, he wrote this one, Learning to Fly. I am learning to fly, although I have no wings, just my faith in Jesus and the love he brings. I'm learning to let my soul leave the ground and feel his presence and all that surrounds. I'm learning to fly so high in the sky that my worries, my problems all pass me by. I'm learning to put my trust in the Lord, and together we fly. Yes, we soar and soar. Pilot me, Jesus, until my days are through. Then let me fly on home with you. And I'd like to do one little verse of that together And I'm going to substitute the word, Paul's word, I mean, Lee's word, I, for our word, we. So please repeat after me. We're learning to put our trust in the Lord. As together we fly. Yes, we soar and soar.
Yes, we soar and soar.
Amen to that. Secondly, accept. Could be the hardest one. I'm not sure. Maybe some of y'all are already there. Be at peace with the end of a season. Fully accept that there is a season for everything under heaven. Fully accept that our friends William and Polly have indeed retired. Fully accept that the season of celebration worship is coming to an end, because acceptance is peace. It's all through the Bible. Acceptance is peace. Viktor Frankl always puts this in perspective for me with whatever challenge I'm facing. He wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning, and in it, he tells about being imprisoned in the concentration camps of World War II. He was a psychiatrist, and he decided it would be therapeutic for him to see which prisoners did better than others and why. And then to put that into practice. Do you have any idea why they did better? Because they gave some of their watery soup to another prisoner. Because they encouraged somebody else. Because they did everything they could to lift each other up in those horrible, shameful circumstances. Now, if they can endure till the day of liberation when the Allied troops came in, we can surely endure through anything we have to go through. It puts it in perspective, doesn't it? We haven't faced anything close to that, but I believe with all my heart what Jesus said. All who want to save their lives will lose it. But all those who lose their lives because of me will find their life. And I believe that when our concerns about our own lives lessen and our compassion for others increases, we can find a way that leads to life. So may the peace of the Lord be with you at the end of this season. Now, finally, get moving. Find God's next step for you and take it. You're about to enter a new season. Make the most of it. You're about to start a new adventure. Give it all you got. Now is the time to let go and let God. To let go of all fear and resentment and let God show you the way forward. Above all, may this be a season drenched in love. Lee knew how life-saving love is. And I want you to pray along with this poem. You don't have to say anything. Just say them in your own heart. The name of the poem is Love. Love is a gift that you give away to the very same people that you hurt today. Love has the power that once it's acquired to lift people up, to take them higher and higher. Love is not selfish. It does not demand things for oneself, but it gives all that it can. Love is not conditional on this or on that. Love loves. For love's sake, and at the drop of a hat. Love is the presence of God's job in peace. Help me to love, Lord, and to love without cease. I'd like to conclude by having us all bless each other. So, you see that Methodist symbol in the middle there? I want us to sort of kind of make a circle. I want you to face that middle point. So please stand, face the middle point, and extend the hand of blessing to someone you're facing or to the group that you're facing. As I read this wonderful blessing by Paul, I ask that the Father will strengthen you in your inner selves from the riches of his glory through the Spirit. I ask that Christ will live in your hearts through faith. As a result of having strong roots in love, I ask that you'll have the power to grasp love's width and length, height and depth, together with all believers. I ask that you'll know the love of Christ, which is beyond knowledge, so that you will be filled entirely with the fullness of God. Glory to God. Glory to God, who is able to do far beyond all that we could ask or imagine by his power at work within us. Glory to God in the church and in Christ for all generations, forever and always. And all the people said, Amen. Please be seated.
Christ our Lord invites us to his table. It is at his table that we find our unity. It is his table that we are united with Christians in every time and in every place. I invite you to stand as we give thanks to God together. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and a joyful thing that we should always and everywhere give thanks to you, Almighty God, for you are the beginning and the end of all things. In the beginning, you breathed into us the breath of life as you created us. You formed us in your image and you called us to be your own. You spoke to us through your prophets and you made us to be your holy people. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and we join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, who said that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. The Lord of all life came to live among us. He healed and he taught. He ate with sinners and he won for you a new people by water and the Spirit. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. You delivered us from captivity to sin and death, and you made with us a new covenant. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, the Lord Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke the bread and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here out of love for you and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in our service to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray as Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.